How do you do? How does a child who fails to learn the fundamentals academically in school ever succeed in the world? The woman in this story knows the answer. She quit trying to learn when she was in junior high school, didn't think about the future, and was totally unprepared for life until her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It has been said that the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. And that's why George and Sarah Clark first opened a little storefront mission in 1877. The doors have never closed, and the mission expanded to become Pacific Garden Mission, a bastion of comfort and help in a weary land. The old lighthouse offers food, fresh clothing, a safe place to sleep. Even medical and dental treatment are provided in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors share the truth that makes them free, the truth that changes lives forever. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3192 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Here's a letter for you. It's from the Bible College.
Oh, no!
What is it?
Oh, Mom, my grades finally got here.
Did you fail a course?
I failed every course.
Every course?
Yeah, they asked me not to come back.
Oh, honey.
They suggest I go to a community college and then reapply.
I'm sorry, Holly.
I don't want to go to some other college.
Last week, we heard how a high school girl made a life-altering decision at age 16. In this conclusion of her true testimony, Holly Hammonds tells how she was unshackled.
By the time I was in high school, it was too late for me to change my academic habits. I was attending a high school in Queens, New York, that was so overcrowded we had split sessions. Racial tensions were high in the mid-70s. I had been socially passed from grade to grade and couldn't wait to graduate. And then a childhood friend of Mom's came and shared the gospel with us. Mom was the first in our family to profess faith in Christ. I was the next to surrender to the Lord. We continued to have Bible study with the couple on Friday nights, starting on the Gospel of John.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Every Friday evening, that couple, Stan and Lorraine, came, bringing cake and the wonderful words of life. We invited many of our friends and family to come and join our Bible study. Sometimes the room was very crowded, and at other times it was just our family. I had grown up being taught that eternal life was not a given, but something to be hoped for, based on good works. Now I knew better.
That's a letter from Lorraine and Stan's son, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he must be excited to know that you're saved.
He's at a Bible Institute at Scroon Lake.
What does he have to say?
Well, you can read it, Mom. He's happy for us. He just wants to encourage us in the faith. He quotes a Bible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
I never heard of that before.
Me neither. And this one, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're not alone, Mom.
Nah, we're not.
Seemed like it at first.
By the way, Lorraine called and gave me the name of a good church we can try out on Long Island. We have to drive. It'll be a bit of a commute. I called the pastor and got directions.
We can't go back to the old church, can we?
Nah, we have to find a church that teaches from the Bible.
That Sunday, Mom, my brother, and my dad and I went to church. The service in the church were so different from our church, and so was the pastor's sermon.
That old prophet of God, Habakkuk, wrote, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The soul that is lifted up is proud, full of itself, and doesn't need God. But the just shall live by his faith. When things go wrong in your life, as they will, live by faith in the one who loved you and gave himself for you. As Habakkuk said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places."
After the service, the pastor shook our hands and talked with us. We attended every Sunday from then on. Mom joined the choir, and I did too, because I wanted to rid my mind of secular songs that ran through my head. I also went to Sunday school and stayed after class to ask the teacher questions.
Are you in any of their Bible study, Holly?
Yeah, the couple that led us to Jesus comes every Friday night. We're studying the Gospel of John.
Oh, that's great.
They told me to start praying for a husband.
They're right. You want God to guide you in all things.
So why is it important to pray?
You align yourself with God's purpose when you pray. Jesus said, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him."
I pray every day to get through high school.
That bad, huh?
Oh, it's a survival zone. Race riots and fighting. Students threaten the teachers.
The school systems have taken God out of the schools, and look what's left.
Well, I try to share my faith, but kids ask questions that I can't answer.
Keep studying, Holly. The Lord will bless your efforts. You don't have to know everything.
I listen to Christian radio.
Oh, good.
Have you heard the program Unshackled?
Yes, yes. Dramatic testimonies of how the Lord changes people's lives.
I listen every time it's on. I used to hang out on the streets, but not anymore. Now I hang out in the church or in my room listening to Unshackled. That summer I went to Bible camp for the first time in my life. What a great time it was, steeped in God's Word and making new friends. My senior year, a wonderful woman who taught Sunday school to the children invited me to be her helper. Mesmerized by the stories of great warriors of the faith, men and women of God, I had to remind myself that I was a helper, not a student. She mentored me, too.
No matter what you face in life, it's always true, Holly. The battle is the Lord's.
I'll have to remember that in school.
What was our verse for today?
Let your conversation be without covetousness, mm-hmm. and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5.
Perfect.
I always carry my Bible to school so I won't feel alone.
You're never alone, Holly.
One day this week, I walked into the hall after class, and it was crowded with kids talking to their friends. And I stood there like I was invisible. That's when I realized that I don't have any close friends anymore.
Yes, you do.
I know. Suddenly I realized that the Lord was with me, and the hall went from gray to bright white.
Jesus is your best friend, Holly. Follow him.
Virginia, I tried to tell my grandmother how she can know Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but she said that there doesn't seem to be much difference in what I have and what she has.
There is none righteous, no, not one.
She thinks going to church is what saves her.
Ephesians chapter 4 talks about unbelievers who have their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
I had spent 12 years in school and had nothing to show for it. But now as a Christian, I was keenly aware that I had no base of education because of my negligence and the problems in the school system. Even so, they graduated me. On one hand, I was glad to be done with school, but I was unprepared for life. The pastor made a suggestion.
Holly, what are your plans now?
Oh, I'm not sure, Pastor. Maybe I'll join the army.
Have you thought about Bible college?
Bible college?
Where you go to school full time and study the Bible in preparation for ministry.
Wow, I'd love to study the Bible full time.
Mm-hmm. There's a Bible college in Pennsylvania where I'm a trustee. I'd be happy to take you there for a visit, and you can look around and see what you think.
Oh, I'll ask my parents.
So, how do you like the campus, Holly?
Oh, are all these people Christians?
Yes. I graduated from here.
Ah, the girls are wearing skirts and the boys are dressed like men. Yet they all look so happy.
Do you think you'd like to go to school here?
Oh, I'd love to. But love doesn't pass a test or pay a bill.
If it's the Lord's will, he'll make a way, Holly.
I felt like Cinderella at that campus. But when I returned to New York, the clock struck midnight. Nevertheless, Mom encouraged me to fill out the application, so I did, thinking nothing would come of it. Imagine my joy when I was accepted.
There's no mistake, Holly. It says you've been accepted. Wow, Holly, the first person in our family to go to Bible college.
But you said Dad was hesitant.
Oh, he's always rational, logical, and practical. That's just the way he is. He doesn't see how you can earn a living with a degree from a Bible college.
Well, the pastor does, and he supports the school. Maybe that's why I was accepted.
Oh, I think you'll do fine, honey. I'll miss you, though.
Promise you'll visit?
We will.
And bring a lot of meatballs and lasagna. I had the time of my life at college until the quizzes came. My academic background had prepared me for failure because I didn't know how to study. Once I tried to cheat, but then I felt convicted and told the instructor. When the final reports came at the end of the year, I had flunked every course, and they told me not to come back. Now what would I do?
Now what, indeed? We'll hear more about Holly in just a moment. When was the last time you visited us? One way to visit is by going to our website, unshackled.org. There you can explore the many facets of our ministry, listen online to hundreds of Unshackled dramas, many in Spanish, or you can request prayer, get a free story booklet, even submit your own testimony for consideration as an Unshackled radio drama. Go to the PGM homepage and see pictures galore from the mission founders to our current guests. You can get information about our many ministries and sign up for a free subscription to the PGM News, a monthly newsletter about PGM. You'll learn so much in so little time and come away with a better appreciation of how we have been helping homeless and distraught people for many years. Remember, unshackled.org. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
I studied the student handbook and discovered that I could appeal the school's decision. So I wrote a letter of appeal. A week later, the college notified me that they had reviewed my file and agreed to reinstate me. When I returned to the college, I met with the dean of women.
Technically, you should have waited a year before appealing a dismissal, Holly.
I'm so glad I was allowed to come back.
You'll be under strict academic probation. We don't want you to fail again.
Oh, I don't want to fail either.
Well, we recognize that, and we want to help you succeed. So, you will need to give an account of everything you do from 6 a.m. until bedtime. You'll attend a study skills class, and you need to repeat your English class.
5 days a week?
Yes. Now, if you have any questions or problems, please let us know. Okay?
Everyone was so kind to me. Trying desperately to be a good student, I went to the library to study, but I was overwhelmed by all the books. And then I recognized a guy from one of my classes who was sitting at a table with books spread around him. Excuse me?
Yes?
Would you mind leaving the books on the table when you're finished, and I'll put them away? We're in the same class, and we need the same books for the assignments, and I'll use them after you if that's all right with you.
I'm fine with that.
I had noticed Mike my first year at the college because his love for the Lord was obvious in every way, from his conversation to his behavior. One day, as I was walking from the mailroom while reading a letter from home, he appeared beside me and invited me to the fall play. And that's how our relationship began. Mike was already 21 and working when he started college, and from that time on, we sat in class together, ate our meals together, and went to church together. Ours was a very wholesome relationship.
How are the studies going, Holly?
Oh, it's a struggle, but I'm passing.
Good. The Proverbs have a lot to say about diligence, like, the hand of the diligent maketh rich.
I like the proverb that says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach.
How do you do so well in school when you're working long hours?
The Lord is my strength, Holly.
You'll make a great preacher.
The Lord called me to be a pastor, and I want to do only those things which bring honor to Him.
Oh, you will.
Holly, would you date me only? I'd like us to take our relationship to the next level with marriage in view.
A year and a half later, Mike asked my dad if we could get married. Mike and my dad sat in a room together for about an hour and talked. Later, Mike told me about their discussion.
I didn't mind his questions at all. A good father should investigate the man who wants to marry his daughter.
He's always been such a good father.
He's just being a good dad. He wants to be sure we can make it on our own.
Well, you and I don't have any debts.
Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I promised him that you would finish school.
Mike and I were married, and I was so happy in our little apartment that I wanted to cook and clean and fix our nest. Mike had other ideas. Dinner's ready.
Great, I'm really hungry.
See what I did this afternoon?
What?
Rearranged everything. Isn't it pretty this way?
Holly, you can do all those things when you've completed your schoolwork. Classes come first.
I was so provoked that I studied hard. And from then on, when Mike came home, I handed him my homework papers and spouted all the information I could. One day, I had a devastating accident. I called Mom and told her about it.
Hello?
Hi, Mom.
Holly, how are you?
Pretty badly burned from my chest to my thighs.
What happened?
My neighbor loaned me her pressure cooker. I thought they worked like a regular pan. I noticed steam pouring out, so I tried to remove the lid. The lid came halfway off and then blew across the kitchen.
Was Mike there?
Yeah, he was cutting grass. Heard me scream and rushed me to the hospital. They packed me in ice for a few hours and sent me home with antibiotic cream.
I'm sorry, honey.
That entire summer was consumed with my recovery as huge blisters formed and I walked with difficulty. Mike took great care of me. While he was in seminary, Mike preached at a prison, and we both taught Sunday school to fourth graders. But he felt led to be an urban missionary, and we applied to be church planters in New York City. We had been married 5 years when our first daughter was born. Shortly after that, we went on deputation. Our second daughter was born, and after visiting 150 churches, we had enough support.
18 months was a long time to be on the road.
We ate and slept in so many different homes. The people were so kind to us.
Well, that had to be physically and emotionally draining.
Oh, it was, but the Lord kept us going. He is our strength.
How did you decide on a place to start a church?
Every time we came here to visit, Mike would ask, where are the churches?
Well, that's true. We had to drive to Long Island after we were saved to find a church that preached from the Bible.
Mike did his demographics and decided that Flushing, Queens would be our target area.
You'll be close to us.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know where to begin.
Well, we'll rent an apartment and have Bible studies in our home first.
But how do you get the word out to people?
Advertise, go door to door, hand out flyers in parks. We turned our living room into a worship area, and most of the time our meetings ended with a meal together. For many years, we met in rented facilities, homes, garages, backyards, and parks. We were bound only by what was contained in the Bible. The Lord blessed us with our third child, a son, to our daughter's delight. I began homeschooling the girls. In 1992, we purchased a building on a corner where we lived on the third floor. The building needed renovation, and a missionary builder came to help us.
What do you think, Ted?
We'll do what we can.
Yeah, it was a bar for many years.
Needs plumbing, electrical wiring, tiling, sheetrock, new windows.
You know, we can put out a letter to our supporters. There are men in the churches who are willing to do whatever needs to be done.
Okay, Mike. Let's build a church fit for a king.
What a busy time that was. People came from everywhere to help transform our building while the ministry continued. Mike preached every Sunday. Being on Main Street, our church had many visitors, from drunks to the sober, from the wealthy to the poor, from those who spoke no English to those who spoke multiple languages. I was always cooking and housing someone or some group. Our lives were filled with building God's kingdom. In 1997, our second son was born, but I had complications.
How are you doing today, Holly?
I want to go home. I'm tired of being in the hospital.
Well, what does the doctor say?
I still have the blood clots in my thigh, and they've run out of ideas.
The blood thinners are not working?
No. Hey, let me hold our son.
Okay. Here he is.
He's so precious.
Oh, every baby is.
Are my parents still here?
Yes, they're a big help to me with the children.
I wish the doctors could do something so I can go home. 2 weeks is long enough.
Holly, they're not God.
Finally, the clots dissolved and I went home, back to our growing fellowship. A few years passed, and one fall day, Mike and our son Michael were out jogging while I homeschooled our children. Another jogger told them about the plane that hit the Twin Towers. Mike told us when they returned home.
A plane has exploded in the Twin Towers.
What? What could have caused it?
I don't know, but some of our church members worked there.
Oh, dear Lord, I hope they're okay.
Yeah, turn on the television. Let's see what happened.
We lived near JFK Airport. Time seemed to stand still as we watched events unfold on 9/11. We spent the day trying to locate our church members, and they were all spared. Our mission asked Mike to distribute finances that were sent to help those in need. Our congregation represented 19 countries of the world, making me think of promises in the Bible, like Psalm 82, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations." There are no words to express all that God did among us and our people at this historic period in our nation. After 15 years, the church was self-supporting. By then, our daughters were ready to go to college. Mike felt that the Lord was leading us to pastor an established church, and God led us to Alaska. What an unforgettable time. Hello?
How are you doing, Holly?
Oh, okay, Mom. Exhausted, but otherwise okay.
What's going on?
Well, the church had about 60 members, and the building needed repair. When we got here, they needed spiritual healing.
That's too bad.
Mike's gotten the building up to code. New electrical wiring, new windows. But getting the congregation up to the Lord's code is not working. Their spiritual problems are great.
Well, what do you do?
The church decided to dissolve so that another larger church within our denomination could take its place. Then they were able to help a smaller church. It was a difficult and different process. But in the end, three other churches were established.
I wonder what happened.
Well, people put their own agendas ahead of the Lord's. But Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Sometimes Mike and I fall asleep on the couch. We're so exhausted.
You both are doing all you can. I'm sure of that.
Well, we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. When the dissolution was complete, a church in Maryland called us to pastor the congregation. We prayed and felt that we should go, leaving our home in Alaska. Our house in Anchorage sold 3 months later, even though the market was depressed. So the Lord blessed our decision. Mike is still pastoring the congregation in Maryland.
Our youngest is in ninth grade. Where have the years gone?
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I, who grew up hating school, will have ended up homeschooling our four kids.
With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Our kids have done just fine in college.
You've done a great job, Holly.
So have you, Mike.
Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We love him because he first loved us.
1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 proclaim, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Friend, if you want eternal life, you can receive it by sincerely praying with us. Dear God, I believe you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for my sins on the cross. I repent of my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and lives to save us. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the gift of eternal life in Christ. Come into my life and change me. Make me like you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us know that you prayed with us, and we'll send you some literature to help you in your faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. My day is lifeless without your program, a listener emailed us. We hope you copy that to the manager of this radio station and ask them to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3192, heard in the true story of Holly Hammonds, part two, where Connie Foster, Joanne Silvestrak, Lanny Lutz, Steve Bayorgen, and Jane Hahnemann. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please take a moment to let us know you listen. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Discouraged? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.